Welcome back. Play the Advantage U.S. Men's National Team podcast. I'm Danny Day, joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Cody Carlson, as always. Cody, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. It's the club season is coming to a close, at least in Europe. MLS is in full force now. Your Galaxy are doing quite well. My Timbers towards the bottom of the table. We'll get to that another day. But I hope it changes around. It's been a tough start for the Timbers. But, man, it's going to be an exciting summer of soccer ahead. The Nations League roster just dropped for the U.S., the 40-man provisional roster.
Yep.
And then we got the Gold Cup coming after that. All of this, of course, leading up to World Cup qualifying. What are you most excited about? We've got an exciting summer ahead, and then, I mean, obviously leading up to the fall of qualifiers.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this 40-man roster for the CONCACAF Nations League came out, and so I've been combing through it and picking players I like and wishing that some were not in it. But, I'm excited for this Nations League. We're playing Honduras on June 3rd, and Mexico will play Costa Rica in the other game, the semifinal, and then hopefully we'll obviously win the final. That's the goal. I'm looking forward to that, obviously. And then the Gold Cup. We love the Gold Cup, and we got to bring the Gold Cup back home.
It's been a while.
It has been a while. But, yeah, some of our favorite memories have been from the Gold Cup over the last decade. Or even before that, actually,
yeah,
in the last two decades, Gold Cup. So definitely looking forward to that. And then, I think it's going to be a fantastic precursor to the exciting World Cup qualifiers starting in September, when it really all comes down to meaningful games, right? So,
yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that these games matter, no doubt. But if I had to say, would you lose the Nations League and would you lose the Gold Cup? As long as you qualify for the World Cup, absolutely.
Yeah, no question.
when someone tells me you win the Nations League and you win the Gold Cup, and then you just flame out in the World Cup qualifiers, I mean, absolutely not. Obviously, the priority is always going to be on the World Cup qualifiers because that's the big prize. We need to get back there.
Right.
But, I mean, I think that as we've seen this U.S. men's national team develop over the course of these last couple years under Berhalter, and it's particularly over these last 12 months, gosh, there's a lot to be excited about. And we talked a little bit about this offline. You've got two different tournaments. You've got the Nations League first coming up, which sounds like it's going to be more of Berhalter's first choice roster. And then you got the Gold Cup, which in theory might be a little bit of a mix of some first choice guys or more just second choice guys. I think it's going to be interesting to see how he develops those rosters. But maybe let's, take in the idea that it's going to be more first-choice guys on that Nations League roster first. We dive in there and see, I mean, if you were Berhalter, who are you taking to that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, out of the 40 guys, I think, quickly through my lineup, Steffens in goal. I put Anthony Robinson left back, John Brooks center back. I go with Aaron Long if he's healthy, but right now he's battling some injuries, so if not, then I go with Matt Miazga as the right center back.
I saw Long, was it yesterday, right? I mean, I don't know the severity of his injury, but it looked potentially bad.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear what that looks like. So
that would be a big blow, honestly. I mean, because that right center back position is still that one we're looking to fill.
Exactly.
And having depth there, I think, is key. And so if we lose Long for any kind of – I mean, if we lose him for these two tournaments, okay. But, I mean, I hope that it's nothing long-term for him.
Yeah. Long term.
Unintended.
So yeah. We'll touch back on that. But
So you've got Miazga sliding in there?
Yeah, I think for now. And then Dest as a right back, Tyler Adams 6, Weston McKennie 8, as a 10 or as a double 8 with McKennie. I go Sebastian Legette or Yunus Musa. Kind of indifferent. Depends which one's ready to go. Pulisic as the 11. I still go with Josh Sargent as the 9. Gio Reyna as the 7. But I've got Tim Weah in the mix there. I want to see him. I want to see Daryl DK. And actually, I have Jossie Zardes as another nine as an option that I'm excited to see, and hopefully we're going to see him. So, but yeah, those are kind of the guys that I highlighted that said, yeah, for me, these guys are a lock. I'd be kind of surprised if Berhalter says no to any of those guys. Curious what you tend
to
think there.
Yeah, I think that those guys are all slam dunks. Based on his previous roster choices we've seen in previous the previous camps here. I think one of the concerns that I have, Tyler Adams, I think, is one of the linchpins to making all this work. Mm-hmm. And he obviously, for RB Leipzig, has been missing out these last few games due to injury, some back issues that seem to be potentially a little bit more serious than maybe they may have been letting on at first. Because he had become a consistent starter for Leipzig, and to see him injured, I just want to see our guys have a chance to play together,
right?
And so I'm really hoping we can see him as our six with McKinney, with Legette, with Musa, whoever that combination is in the middle there. So I think that would just be so much fun. But he's also shown to be kind of injury prone. He and Pulisic, potentially two of our best players, we're always kind of holding our breath a little bit for those two.
Yeah. Made of glass. I mean, I know you're always texting me or saying, oh, I can't watch Pulisic. He's gonna go
always
down. He's going to be out. Yeah.
Even when he scores goals, he's grimacing.
Right.
And I'm just
thinking,
oh no, what did you do? Don't run too fast.
Yeah.
You know, run fast enough to score the goal, but don't pull that hammy again.
Absolutely.
I mean, if Adams is injured, this is one of the things I was thinking about. That central three, I mean, because I think that right now, Berhalter, the way that I see him seeing it, and I would have to agree with him, is you got Adams, McKinney, Musa, Legette, kind of as your four central guys. And any three of those could start on any given day.
Yeah.
If you don't have Adams, do you play McKinney, Musa, and Legette? I think Musa could almost kind of, you know, any three of those guys could kind of shift around into that six role.
Yeah. We like what Tyler Adams does as a six so much.
Yeah.
So it's hard to, I mean, and I'm looking at, you know, backups. We got, you know, Kellen Acosta is in this 40-man roster.
Yeah.
Owen Odesawi at Wolves. I would put him as a six backup, and then Jackson Ewell as a six backup. But those three, to be honest, are not making me excited if Tyler Adams can't go. Right.
No.
That's a bit of a concern, obviously. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully, he's not as injured. As you get all concerned about. But
I think that's the thing, though, right? Is that six position. Actually, I mean, if you don't have that, I mean, it's probably our weakest position after, you know, not having a backup.
In terms of depth,
In terms of depth, I mean, you really don't have a go-to guy. Jackson Ewell might be, he's had a decent start to the MLS season, scoring some bangers, but
he's a playmaking six, right? He's the opposite of Adams, and we've gone over this, but, you know, Adams is the destroyer six and the energy, right? And the Energizer bunny. Never stops running, never stops covering ground. Jackson Ewell is the nice, silky, smooth, you know, playmaking six, right?
Right.
So I think if it came to it, I would put McKinney as the six, and then I would go with, you know, Sebastian Legette and Yunus Musa, like you said.
Yeah.
And then I also have Brendan Aaronson as an option.
Okay.
Right? So
you see Aaronson sliding into that middle as opposed to out on the wing.
I'd put him, I could see him as an 8/10 or as a 7/11. You know, I think he's proven that he could play anywhere in those spots. Probably not as a 9, but I'd say, 7/11, 8 or 10.
Yeah.
And he'd do just fine. I mean, clearly he's done phenomenal with Jesse Marsh and Salzburg, right? So,
yeah.
He's one of the guys that I'm excited to see. Hopefully we get a good look at him, you know, in these Nations League two games or the friendly, right? I mean, we play Switzerland on the front end of the Nations League.
Huge match against Switzerland, really. I mean, even though it's just a friendly, I mean, you're playing – I didn't see what Switzerland's ranking was, but I know they're ranked ahead of us. And so
– And it's in Switzerland.
They've had a lot of success over the years. Very, very going to be an organized squad. A lot of players playing in Champions League squads across Europe. So it's going to be, I think, probably the hardest test we've had over the course of the last 12 months. I mean, we played some good teams. Wales, and obviously other CONCACAF teams.
Yeah, Jamaica, and the US has had Northern good Ireland.
Northern Ireland, but we've had good success. But I think Switzerland's got to be our toughest test that we've had up to this point.
I would think so. If they come with their, you know, with their A team.
Right.
Then you would expect that. Sure. This should probably be the toughest opponent we've played in the last 12 months.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree with that. So, and then on the back end, we were talking about, right, we're going to play Costa Rica in that friendly. So, you know, you got a friendly in Switzerland, and then 3 days later, you play the Nations League semifinal against Honduras. Ideally, we win that, and we play in the final 3 days later on the 6th against either Mexico or Costa Rica. If it's Costa Rica, then we play Costa Rica in the Nations League final, and then we play them in a friendly 3 days later.
Right.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll get four games right there. Hopefully really get a good evaluation of some of these guys and see the pieces continue to fall into place, hopefully.
Yeah, and it's interesting, you know, obviously Honduras knocked our U-23 team out of the Olympics, and they're going to the Olympics.
Thanks for bringing that up. That's hurtful. Yeah,
can our men's national team right the ship a little bit and get us back on track and say, hey, you may have beaten our U-23s, but here's our real team. Most of them are actually under 23 as well, and they're gonna take it to you.
Yep.
And they're gonna pound you, and they're gonna build up from the back. They're gonna keep the ball. You're not even gonna touch the ball, and we're gonna put three or four in on you.
That's our hope. I would love that. I would love that. A little bit of payback, right? Even though, you know, like you said, U-23s versus the men's team, it's not exactly the same, but payback.
And you mentioned some guys across the back. Miazga, I'm still not super high on, although I think he does make it into this camp, especially if Long is injured. It'll be interesting to see what kind of injury report we get there.
Yeah. Well, bring it on. Give me the Chris Richards.
Chris Richards definitely slotting in there, although he's been dealing with his own injuries as well. Mm-hmm. Gosh, can we just get a perfect health report at some point? But, I mean, that's the thing, though, right? That's where this depth has to be the key, and especially in these three game windows of the qualifiers we're going to see come fall, you're going to have be too deep in every position, because one, you can't have guys go full 90s in any game, and not every guy go full 90s, and you're going to have squad rotation.
Yeah,
Pulisic, I mean, gosh, it'll be interesting to see how he develops in terms of his health. I mean, in theory, he should be starting every single game for us, no question.
Well, but
on his health. That may not be a reality. So
it's about player management, right?
Yeah.
Managing their minutes, managing their legs, their fitness and all that. So, but you're right. With the talking about World Cup qualifiers coming this fall, I mean, three games in the same window in September to kick us off. We definitely need that depth. So give me your Chris Richards take.
Chris Richards is just a phenomenal, not just prospect anymore. I mean, the guy was playing in the Champions League for Bayern, played only, you know, a couple games, transferred to, you know, got a loan out to Hoffenheim. Hoffenheim really wants to sign him on a full-time basis. They want to pull him away from Bayern. It'll be interesting to see if Bayern brings him back this summer. I think that'll be really key. I mean, I hope the only reason Bayern would bring him back is if they actually are going to play him. I want to see him at Hoffenheim if he's not part of their plans going forward. But I think that Richards really could be, and I think he already is the real deal. I do think he still needs to get more and more game experience. So a mid-level team in the Bundesliga like Hoffenheim could be a good fit for him. Of course, I think when you play for a team like Bayern, you're also just going to get that much better, and you're going to look really good because you're going to be winning a lot of games. You're going to be put in good positions. Does that make you a better player? You know, that could be contested. I like Richards, and I still like Mark McKenzie. I know that he's kind of fallen off, but he had a lot of momentum late in 2020, winning, you know, doing really well for the Philadelphia Union.
Yep.
Making the transfer over to Genk, and actually has had a good performance just recently, but I think
he wasn't a starter. He wasn't like a panned in starter for Genk. Which was a little disappointing, but it's not easy to go to a new team, a new environment, and away from home and all that, and really excel. I mean, everyone's going to have different issues and whatnot. So hopefully he's coming out of that.
But I would love to see him as a part of this first team here. Potentially, if you have guys who are injured, I think he definitely makes his way in there. If he's not in there, I'd almost rather see him over in the Gold Cup roster, being that starter 90 minutes a game.
Yeah.
So it's that kind of fine balance, right? Because you're wanting to get that continuity with the first team, but you also want to see guys like Mark McKenzie, who maybe are more of that fringe first team, scoot them over to the Gold Cup and get them 90 minutes a game in the starting role. So
I agree. I think we pretty much penned in that John Brooks is going to be our left-sided center back, right? I mean,
yeah, debatably one of the best, if not the best defender in the Bundesliga this year.
Yeah,
just qualified Wolfsburg for the Champions League. I mean, the guy is becoming a Wolfsburg legend.
Yeah, no, so he's been a rock, and we would expect him to be that guy for us. So yeah, it's that big question about who's that right center back. We've gone over this, and we'll continue to until it kind of we figure out who's it going to be.
What I'm looking at here, the most debated position would be right center back position.
Yeah, well, you were a center back, so we're expecting your hot takes.
Hot topic, man.
But I'm looking at options, and I've written down their ages, which I thought was interesting.
Okay. Yeah, what's our average age? What are we looking at?
You know, I go with Aaron Long if he's healthy, 28 years old, experience, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay with your center backs being a little more older, wiser, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not as old as Tim Ream, the 33-year-old dinosaur. However, I think Messi's Aaron Long's...
Man.
Yeah.
Messi and Ream, same level.
Okay. I got Matt Miazga in there. He's 25 right now. Your boy Chris Richards, 21 years old.
21.
Okay. Mark McKenzie, 22.
Okay.
And then I have Miles Robinson. He's also on that.
Miles.
Yeah, 40-man roster.
Right.
Provisional roster. He's 24, playing at Atlanta United.
Yeah.
And then Walker Zimmerman's also in this 40-man roster. He's 27. Right. Walker Zimmerman. He's one that we don't often talk about. He's not thrilling for me. I like Richards and Mark McKenzie over him. Obviously, Aaron Long and Matt Miazga, I think they're all ahead of Walker. Unfortunately for Walker, it seems like he's a good guy, but he's not. He doesn't have anything that's truly special, I don't think.
Yeah.
So I think
the guys who have made the moves over to Europe at the end of the day are the guys who people think the most highly of.
Right.
As does Berhalter. And you've seen that with Walker Zimmerman not getting picked into camps recently.
Yep. So it'll be interesting to see. I think when we look at these, upcoming four games, when we got this Switzerland friendly, it's interesting. I wonder what's going to happen, what Greg is going to do. Does he go with his guys? Does he think, this is the team that I kind of want to go with heading into this semifinal game against Honduras 3 days later? Right. Or is this a game that maybe I try some new guys, right, and save legs for a must-win game? So I'm curious what he's going to do. I kind of lean towards, resting some of the guys that you're like, we don't need to bring them to this friendly, and we need to save most of our starters for that semifinal because we got to win, right?
Right.
So I'd love to see Mark McKenzie, Chris Richards, Miles Robinson, give him a chance in the Switzerland game, right? Or in the Costa Rica game at the end on the 9th, right? So in those friendlies, give those guys a chance and can we get a better evaluation who we think might be that right center back alongside John Brooks?
Yeah, that's valid. Yeah, I mean, I think, and you'll see, obviously, the Champions League final of the 29th, the day before that game. So we won't see Pulisic in this game, and we won't see Stefan. So it'll be interesting actually to see that the goalkeeper selection, too, is one that will interest me to see what he does there, what Berhalter does.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you've got Turner.
You've got five
goalies right now.
You've got Zach Steffen. You got Matt Turner, Ethan Horvath, Sean Johnson, and David Ochoa. Right.
That's
so,
right.
It's interesting. It's kind of like a little bit of the flag or the torch is being passed. No more Braggy's on or, those types.
He's on. I mean, yeah. He's had a great career, and I think it's just time to pass the torch. You're right.
So,
I mean, my question to you is, do you want to see? Because I think we still want to see a little bit more like game time from Turner. We want that. I think we both feel, and most people feel, that Stephen is definitely the locked on starter.
He should be,
despite his fallacies. I think we think he's the best at this point. Turner, we still don't. I think the jury is still kind of out on him. Like, could he fill in if we need him in a big time game? Do you put him? I mean, I'm thinking that Stephen will be the goalkeeper in the Nations League games. Mm-hmm. So do you just? I mean, do you even bring Turner to the Nations League, or do you just put him over into the Gold Cup? And say, hey, you go be the starter here for 6 games and win us this tournament.
Yeah. Well, if we go with Zach Steffen in the Nations League and we don't, you're saying don't bring Matt Turner as his backup?
Well, maybe you do. I'm just not sure what the answer is, I think, at this point.
Right. Well, are we saying that Matt Turner is definitely ahead of Horvath, Sean Johnson, and David Ochoa? I don't know. I haven't seen enough of them to really make that call. That's why I'm really curious to see how things shake out in this camp, right, that they're having in this, these 4 games, right? Because I think that'll tell us a lot. Ultimately, it's not the most high priority position if we're really convinced Zach Steffen is our guy, but we do want a reliable backup.
You certainly do. Yeah.
And I think we'll definitely have, you know, one goalkeeper as a backup, but coaches often bring three, right? Just in case of that's the last situation you would ever want to be in if both goalies got either hurt or a red card and now you got nobody.
Just happened to the Timbers. Did you see that last night? They bring in a USL guy.
Yeah.
USL guy makes the save on the PK, wins them the game.
Big time.
I mean, it happens, right?
Congratulations. I hope that never happens again for your Timbers.
gotta throw in a good Timbers comment every 20 or so minutes.
Yeah.
So goalkeeper, Stephen, it'll be interesting to see. I think you're right. What they do there. And then what was the other position that you were just mentioning as well?
Well, you know, looking at our three forwards.
Yeah.
I mean, I have Sargent, Daryl DK, and then I have Jossie Zardes, you know, penned in. He's 29, right? And then Sargent and DK are 21. I mean, that's a big age difference. But Zardes he's got some experience over him.
Berhalter loves Zardes.
Berhalter loves him. So we'll see. I mean, the other guys in the nine spot within this 40-man roster is Nicholas Giacchini and Jordan Sipachu. So, you know, Giacchini's even younger. He's 20.
Is he 20? Wow, okay. Yeah.
And then Sipachu is 25, right?
Okay. Who has just won it with young boys in the Swiss
young
League,
boys.
Right?
Yep. So...
So they'll be in Champions League this next year then, or they'll be in the qualifier for the Champions League, I believe, then?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how the Swiss League qualifies.
Yeah, I'm not sure either off the top of my head, but I mean, we're playing this friendly in Switzerland. I would think that he
good point.
would be on that roster to give him a run out and see how he does, right? At this point, I don't think he's ahead of Sargent or DK or even Zardes.
I agree. You
know, we kind of got to wait and see what shakes out.
That in the nine spot, it will be intriguing to see how this plays out. And again, like with the nation, with the friendly there, but then also the Nations League, well, because DK also, because he's in the promotion playoff right now, right, with Barnsley.
Right.
He could also be one where they play the day before. The day or 2 days before that game, so he may not be available for that Switzerland game.
Right.
So,
but we better have him for the Nations League. I mean, he's someone that I want to see in the Nations League.
Right. Agreed. Me too. I want Sargent and DK to battle it out. But I'm almost thinking, Wayne, do you want again Sargent to just get the majority of those minutes, and if he's on fire, you keep riding him? I mean, I guess it's only 2 games. Or do you, again, do you, I mean, because the Sargent has a great game in the semis, and then, you know, you're going to start him in the final. Then DK is only getting, you know, 10, 20 minutes a game.
Sure.
Do you, I mean, there's still
a fresh Daryl DK coming in against tired legs is terrifying for an opponent.
Very true.
So
very
I think,
true.
after Josh Sargent just runs him into the ground, because that's his MO, is just work rate.
Right. Right.
So I'm okay with that. I think that's how I go if I'm Greg. But
yeah, I agree. I mean, DK is had an incredible rise over the course of these past 12, 14 months, right, where he has just taken off.
And he's taken off like Dogecoin, huh?
Like Dogecoin. My goodness. What an analogy there. I think you're right, though. I mean, but the good thing about DK is he's actually got fundamentals. Dogecoin, yeah. Not sure if it has the fundamentals there. Daryl DK is one. I mean, I think it's a cool story, too, right? Because he just wasn't maybe one of those guys who was getting all the, you know, youth national team minutes. He went through college soccer.
Yep.
You know, played at Virginia. Yep. You know, gets drafted, playing over in Orlando with your guy Benji, and obviously, you know, had a great season last year. Gets the loan, and is just taking advantage of his opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's what you got to do when you're over there in Europe. Brendan Aaronson doing the same thing in Austria, and Daryl DK trying to get Barnsley out of nowhere to a promotion to the Premier League would be they would build a statue for the guy.
They would if
they make it to the Premier League. And there's
I hope it happens.
And there's no way. I mean, whether he stays at Barnsley or whether he goes to a different team, as we've heard many rumors of top, you know, the top six teams in England really wanting to sign him, actually, for 10 to 15 million. Orlando putting the price tag on his head is very high. Yep. I think it's this kind of game of chess right now. Right.
Yep.
I hope that he does not go back to Orlando. I want to see him stay over in England.
I agree. I think he's proven himself in the championship and second division and in the UK. And now it's kind of like, okay, let's see. Either can you play in the Prem, or can you play somewhere else in Europe? That's a tough flight, right? So
yeah,
but
it'd be intriguing.
But man, the other one I want to
to
bring up on this 40-man roster, we got a couple guys, Paul Areola and Tyler Boyd as sevens.
Boyd options, is done for so. Me. Boyd is done. I mean, he had a couple of runouts a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
did okay. I was pretty excited about him. He scored a couple of goals in that one of those Gold Cup games, I believe.
Right.
Has done virtually nothing since. Can't even get on the field. I mean, he does sometimes
in the Turkish league, right?
In the Turkish league, but
Sivasspor. Yeah.
Unfortunately for him, I mean, and I think we all get caught up in this, right? It's the we get caught up in the man of the moment. Who is playing super well right now? DK is playing super well right now.
Yeah.
You got other guys obviously over in Europe playing well, and I mean, Boyd is not to say he's not playing well at the moment, but I think he's definitely fallen off the radar of a lot of U.S. men's national team fans, including myself.
Yeah, well, clearly, I mean, you just made your opinion very, very well known there, so thank you for that.
I mean, but
he's not, no, you're right, he's not
there's
ahead
no way
of,
he gets in there.
No, he's not ahead of Gio Reyna, he's not ahead of Tim Weah, not ahead of Christian Pulisic.
Even
Conrad De La Fuente. Conrad De La Fuente is an option as a 7 or 11 as well.
Ooh, I forgot about him as well. I mean,
yeah.
And he is such an exciting prospect, honestly. I mean, he had a bad...
He's 19.
And always, you know, I mean, because Barca is so good. If he were on any other La Liga team besides Atletico, Sevilla, or Real, or Barca, right, he'd probably be getting playing time. But because he's not...
Yeah.
He hasn't gotten any playing time for the first team this year, you know, or except for one Champions League game. The fact that he got into a Champions League game is amazing.
That's crazy. What a stat for him, you know, just
yeah.
Doesn't even play in for Barca in La Liga, but he plays for Barca in a Champions League game. Wild.
They could have used him today, but I mean, I think you're right, though. I mean, Reyna, Weah on the right wing.
And then even Paul Areola, I think he's ahead of Boyd. I mean, Areola showed us, you know, in the most recent friendlies, was it
January or February?
Yeah. I mean, he got a couple goals. I mean, he showed
well. I mean, he's got some serious speed.
Yeah, he's quick. I mean, he's 5'6", I think, but he's quick. He does a job. I don't think he's been ahead of Gio or Tim Weah. All right, so he's one that honestly might miss out. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, if it's only a 23-man roster, it's going to be tough for Greg to narrow it down.
Yeah.
And like we mentioned, other guys, gosh, because you want to get this continuity with this first team. So then do you bring in other guys where you just see them as more almost like minute fillers? Like, you know, say if you have Adams who's healthy, do you bring in a guy like Kellen Acosta, who's going to serve as maybe just a, you know, maybe a backup role, you know, 10 minutes, maybe he starts one game, but not out of that 4-game rotation. It will be very intriguing to see that the finalization of that roster choice, because as we know, making a final 23-man roster is very difficult. And if you're, if you're out in Europe right now, I mean, the only guys who are, gosh, I'm just looking at the roster here, of the guys we've talked about, only Zardes and Legette, I believe, are the only two besides Areola, you know, potentially in the mix there, who aren't. Oh, and Yule, who might make it over there.
And Kellen Acosta as well.
Kellen Acosta as well.
Matt Turner with the Revs.
Sorry, yeah. Right. So now you keep naming more and more now. So obviously I was off base, but no, it's a low.
No, moment. I mean, yeah, it's not nearly as much as the amount that are playing in Europe. So, but yeah, no, I'm looking at some guys that I'm kind of like scratching my head, like almost like, why are they in here? Because I don't think they have a shot in hell at making a 23-man roster. Like Luca De La Torre, Sam Vines. Sam Vines.
Well, I mean, we do need a backup left back. We didn't talk about
But Sam Vines, no chance. I mean, you just put Dest over there, and then you play Reggie Cannon or DeAndre Yedlin or even Brian Reynolds on the right. Right, so it's just
do they bring Reynolds or Yedlin?
Yeah, I don't put Sam Vines in the 23. I mean, he's just not good enough. I mean, even though he's left-footed, left back, I think if anything, you put Dest if Anthony Robinson can't go, or if it's determined that it's better to play Dest on the left in his spot, then you have the options at right back with Cannon, DeAndre Yedlin, and Brian Reynolds. So
yeah.
But I don't think you can't bring all those right backs, you know. So I think you either bring Yedlin or Reynolds. You don't bring both, or you bring none.
Do you bring Cannon, or are you bringing?
I bring Cannon and Dest. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
But I think Yedlin and Reynolds might have to. They're on the bubble for me. We'll see what happens, right? So.
Yeah, I mean Reynolds has been. What's the age of Reynolds?
There? He's 19.
19. I mean, what a prospect for the U.S. men's national team. Yeah. We're at Roma now. Has gotten, you know, into a few games. Has looked okay. I think what you would expect for a 19-year-old who moves amidst a pandemic over to Italy and is trying to find his way. Hasn't looked great, but hasn't, you know, looked terrible either. Right. And I think in that friendly we saw against Northern Ireland, he really showed some good things too.
Yeah.
And so I think, gosh, if he were able to, well, now he's under Jose Mourinho this next year.
he's going to learn some more defending, I think. We'll see.
Yeah. But, he's an exciting prospect for sure. It'll be interesting to see. I almost honestly would just rather see him in the Gold Cup. Because you've got Destin Cannon. I think those are your top two right now, right backs.
Yeah, and we're trying to win Reynolds. This Nations League. We're trying to win the Nations League. So you're going to go with Destin and Cannon, or even Yedlin ahead of Brian Reynolds, just based on experience and age.
Bring Reynolds into the Gold Cup. Give him the start every game. Give him game time. I mean, seriously, give him game time. He needs that.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree.
I agree. I think
bringing Vines would be a mistake. Yeah, no, Vines should not. He's not ready. He's not ready. He needs more time. But, you know, you're saying, you know, we got to win the Nations League and kind of Gold Cup is whatever. But I'm also like, man, I'm greedy. I want to win them all, right? So, I'm kind of like, let's get some results, man. Let's bring the guys that we think are going to get us the wins, because ultimately that's the fuel that's going to help us as we head into September for these qualifiers.
Yeah.
Right?
For sure.
You want to come off the backs of, hey, we won the Nations League, the CONCACAF Nations League. Hey, we won the Gold Cup. We are the kings of CONCACAF as we head into these World Cup qualifiers.
Absolutely.
Right? So.
Absolutely.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I think.
No, you're right. And I think if we can get that dominance back, it has been a while. Mexico has definitely been the king of CONCACAF for It seems like a while now, just especially since our World Cup qualifying failure the last time around.
Yep.
And it's something that we need to get that back. So if we could, if we find a way to beat them in the Nations League, if we get a chance to match up with them and or the Gold Cup, even though it may not be our gold, our A team in the Gold Cup, if we can get a couple of tournament victories, the confidence that that does, and then the fear factor that that puts in the other team going into qualifiers, that mental side of the game is so huge, right? So I think that could be big.
Yep. No, absolutely. Absolutely.
So I feel like we've talked, I mean, obviously, you know, we know Pulisic, we know, I think, a lot of our starters and who we want to see. Obviously, I think we're hoping, well, we'll see an American win the Champions League this year, either Stefan or Pulisic.
Yep.
You know, if Pulisic does not start the Champions League final, I'm gonna start a riot. So we'll have to see what happens there and what Tuchel decides to do. Anyway, Pulisic, one of the potentially, I mean, I think right now his form, you'd have to say, he's one of the top two players in the CONCACAF right now. And when he's at his best, he could do it. Now that being said, he goes in and out of his form, in and out of his health. So that he's kind of a roller coaster for me at times, which is frustrating.
Yep.
But when he's at his best, he can be next to unstoppable, which is exciting to watch.
Yep.
So hopefully he has a good summer and it puts him in a good position going back in a healthy spot, you know, into Chelsea in the fall and going into World Cup qualifying as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We need him to. We like we've said all along, and we'll continue to. But if we don't have a healthy Christian Pulisic, we're in trouble. We're in trouble, right? And it's kind of like the situation in, you know, the 2014 World Cup. Our formation, our system of play was predicated on a healthy Jozy Altidore. And as soon as he went down, everything had to change. We moved Clint Dempsey, you know, from the 10 spot, and now he's our 9, and everything kind of shifts around, and we just weren't as strong of a team. And part of that was because we didn't have the depth either that I think, you know, in theory we have right now. But yeah, definitely if we don't have a healthy Pulisic, then you know, we can just close up. It ain't happening this time.
Yep. Well, you mentioned Jozy there. Jozy and Michael Bradley, I believe neither of them are on this 40-man Nations League roster, correct?
Correct.
So, I mean,
it's a little bit further of the torch being passed, like I was saying.
Changing of the guard. It is firmly happened now. And those guys had absolutely incredible careers for the U.S. men's national team.
No,
I mean, I think Josie's what, the third or fourth all-time leading goal scorer for U.S. men's national team? Something along those lines.
Yep.
Michael Bradley scored one of the best sixes, if not the best six of all time for U.S. men's national team. Scored incredible goals over the course of his career.
Yep.
It's a bummer the way that things, I think, ended for those two, you know, with the failure qualifying and then just kind of unfortunately pittering out a little bit. But I think we have to definitely respect all that they gave to the team over the years.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Jozy Altidore is 31. He's our age, right?
Yeah.
He's so could you imagine still suiting up and playing at? No.
I mean, I am. I think I could see myself doing that, but you know, some may seem to differ in that one.
Yeah. In your own mind, I suppose, huh?
Yeah. I mean, my ability to win air duels, you know, is next to none. So, but let's shift over to the Gold Cup. I mean. Unless you have any other thoughts on the Nations League, I mean, I think we kind of know what we want to see there. Interesting to see what Berhalter does, but do you want to shift over to the Gold Cup just briefly before we finish up here?
Sure.
So, there's so many options, right? I mean, I think we have our four guys in the middle of the park there too, with Musa, Lajet, McKinney, and Adams. But who are our other guys who say God forbid we have serious injuries in the middle of the park. We need to figure out who those other eights are, the eights or the tens, or even the sixes. Even across the board, who are guys you want to see in this Gold Cup roster getting some serious minutes and really trying to earn that spot, potentially on that 23-man roster?
Yeah, that's a great question. Owen Odesawi, for me, is one that I think, I mean, he's 20 years old. And I forget that too, because when you look at the guy, you're like, wow, you are just a specimen and, you know, has the profile to be very good.
Yeah.
I think he's had a rough go at Wolves. It's a tough place to be, obviously playing in the Prem, and you know, Wolves is a very good side. And but that being said, I think he's going to continue to grow and continue to get better. And I think he's someone who I want to see more of as a backup for Adams as a six.
Yeah, or, that's a great point.
You know, Jackson Ewell, I think I've got a pretty comfortable picture of what he's about. I know his strength, and I know his strengths, and I know his weaknesses. So I think Odesoe, I still want to see more of.
So do you want Jackson Ewell at the Nations League, or do you want him in the Gold Cup?
I suppose Gold Cup. I mean, like I said, I want to win both tournaments. So if I want to win both, and I don't think, unfortunately, Jackson Ewell is someone that I really need. I mean, he's a bubble guy for me. But, you know, and if he's playing, then, you know, we that means Adams is hurt. But yeah, I mean, the other one is Kellen Acosta. And I think I've got a good enough picture of what he's about that I don't really need to see him too much more. Christian Roldan is also on this 40-man roster as an eight. I've seen him enough with the Sounders. I he's one that I'm kind of like, I don't really need to see more of you. And then
he just is what he is. He's very average. And if he
he's like a Walker Zimmerman.
He has seen the field in any important and meaningful game, I mean, for the U.S. Men's National Team, please do not play him in a qualifier. If he sees time in the Gold Cup, okay.
Yeah.
But he should not be seeing the field in any qualifier.
Is this because you're a Timbers fan and he's a Sounders player?
No, honestly, I mean, he's done great for the Sounders. Props to him. When he plays the U.S. Men's National Team, he just does not do it. And he looks so average, actually really more below average out there against the top caliber players.
Yeah. He's like a poor man's Sebastian Legette, and that's telling you something.
Hey, and you know what? Sebastian Legette, honestly, is really growing on me. You know, scored a good goal yesterday for the Galaxy. But Legette has really grown on me a lot. So I was hard on him at first. I think partially due to Berhalter's misplacement of him as the false nine did not work out for him.
Yeah, that was like, our first look at him, you know, with Berhalter, and you're like, no.
He's definitely an 8-10 kind of a role, and he does very well, and he performs, right? He puts the ball in the back of the net.
I would say those guys. I mean, Brendan Aaronson as well. I mean, I think he's in the mix though with you know, the McKennies and the Mooses, the Jets and Adams. I think he's that good. I think he's ahead of the guys we just mentioned in Acosta, Rodon, and Odesoe and Jackson Ewell.
Are you saying Brendan Aaronson, you want to see him in Gold Cup?
I think he's a guy.
Maybe you bring to both.
I mean, look, if my starting central mids are Adams, McKinney, and Legette, that leaves Musa and Aaronson as options. And I think either of those two coming off the bench into one of those three central positions, I am very excited about.
Yeah.
Because those two are just young, exciting, energy, skill, talent, like all the above. So, I put Brendan Aaronson. I mean, I want to see him play. So whether or not he gets time in the Nations League or, you know, more significant time in the Gold Cup, whatever it is, I want to see him, though. And I think he deserves a chance. So,
agreed. What's your take on Eric Williamson? He's had a really, a strong 2020 season. Got left off the U23 roster. Obviously, that did not work out well for the U.S.,
Yep.
He's been having a strong start to this 2021 season. Had two assists last night for the Portland Timbers. Again, this is not me trying to be a Timbers homer.
Yes, it
but
is.
But I really believe the guy could, if he were to get some time in the Gold Cup, show why he is that guy that could potentially be a fringe guy for the U.S. Men's National Team.
Yeah. You know what? Even though he's a Timbers guy, he's definitely someone that I want to see more of. I mean, Luca De La Torre is in here. Christian Roldan's in here. Yeah. Like, come on. I mean, let's let's find a way to get Williamson in. Can we find a way to get Williamson in into one of these friendlies or something, right? I don't know. I mean, but I would love to see him at least get a chance. And looking at, you know, the U23 failure against Honduras in the Olympics qualifiers, I mean, Eric Williamson would have been a stud for us. And I think,
oh, absolutely.
You know, with him not being on that Olympic roster was just silly, right?
Yeah. Another guy, Paxton, or Paxton Palmichael.
Yeah.
We were, you know, about a year and a half ago, so high on him. Then, you know, last year he gets his injury.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, he was seeing first team minutes, right? That's no longer in the picture for him at the moment. Mm-hmm. He gets his injury. He's still kind of coming back from that. Do we see him in the Gold Cup? I mean, is he making that cut right now? I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. Yeah, like I said, I want to win. I want to win the Gold Cup. And if I want to win the Gold Cup, I'm not bringing Paxton. Sorry, Paxton.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate for him because he has such a high ceiling, I think. But, man, he is just – unfortunately, the injuries bug has really hit him hard.
Yeah. The other two guys that were on that U23 Olympic team was Andres Perea and Johnny Cardoso.
Yeah.
And neither of those guys are on this 40-man provisional roster for the Nations League.
Right.
Are they guys that you want to see at the Gold Cup? Do they deserve a chance?
I'm kind of,
to be honest, I'm a little bit pissed at those guys. Anyone who was on that U23 Olympic failure team, I'm kind of like, I don't think you really earned a chance to
play in the
Gold Cup. Yeah.
I'm a little bit almost indifferent to those guys because I almost want to see other guys get a chance to prove themselves. Mm-hmm. Like, you had your shot. You didn't take it. I'd have to agree with you there. I mean, Perea, I think, is, could be a decent player, but I just don't – he's so far down the depth chart for me. I just don't see him ever really breaking in, unfortunately.
Yeah.
For him, I mean – De La Torre, honestly, has had a really good season in the Dutch league, right? Played well. I mean, has looked, I think, decent in our U.S. men's national team games. Has come on, provided the spark.
Yeah, but he also wasn't playing against really good opponents.
True. That's
and
fair.
And I think we were already leading in the scores in those games that he came in, right? So, not a hard situation to come into and keep the ball, play well, and do your thing, right? But being too hard on him. But
no, I think you're fair. Another big gap that I left off the U23 is Caden Clark. The kid's only 17, but I want to see him. I want to see Cade Cowell from San Jose lighting up already in MLS.
Yep.
Those two guys, I think, are musts on this Gold Cup roster. See what they can do at the highest level.
I would love to see those two young guns get a chance, right? And you love to see this too, you know, young guns for MLS. Cade Cowell is absolute. I mean, you look at him, you're like, no way this guy's 17. Right? No chance. But he definitely has the talent and the abilities to do some things. So he's really exciting to watch. Caden Clark as well. He just plays with a smile on his face the whole time and is scores some bangers, man. Absolute bangers. Those two young guns, those are guys that definitely want to see more of. I don't know if the Gold Cup is the chance to see them or not. I would have loved to see them in the U23 Olympic team. We'll see what happens. All right, well, this has been Play the Advantage, U.S. Men's National Team, Episode 5. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We're looking forward to this Nations League and Gold Cup. It's going to be a summer of fun, U.S. soccer. We'll come through with some more podcasts soon. Stick around. Hope you guys can tune in. Go USA!